All right, let's take a trip back in time for this deep dive. Back to the 1970s, to be exact. We're going to be looking at Eastern Airlines versus Gulf Oil, a case that went down during the energy crisis. You know, the one with the crazy lines at the gas station and the economic uncertainty that seemed to be everywhere.
Yeah, it's wild how even giant corporations weren't immune to all the chaos.
Right, like even these big companies were getting caught up in it all. So we've got a whole stack of court documents here, expert testimonies, news articles from that time.
Trying to paint a picture of what happened.
Exactly. Our mission, I guess you could say, is to really unpack how this dispute unfolded, you know, what legal principles were at stake and what lessons businesses can take away from it even today.
This isn't just some, you know, boring old contract dispute from the past. It really touches on some pretty timeless issues like contract law. The whole concept of foreseeability in agreements and how global alliance can really send shockwaves through industries you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, it's all connected. To really get what happened, we need to rewind a bit and set the scene. Back then, the U.S. was super reliant on foreign oil. And OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, was becoming a major force.
Gaining power.
Yeah, and then bam, the 1973 Arab oil embargo hit.
Talk about a wake-up call, right? It showed how vulnerable the U.S. was being so dependent on oil imports, and suddenly they're at the mercy of OPEC's decisions. And of course, the embargo just threw the energy market into a tailspin.
And as if the embargo wasn't enough, the U.S. government decided to step in with a two-tier pricing system for oil. Basically, they froze the price of oil that was already being produced, but any newer production could be sold at market prices.
Oh man, can you imagine the confusion? Two different prices for essentially the same thing. It really just made an already volatile market even more unstable.
Yeah, talk about uncertainty. So right smack in the middle of this whole mess, you have Eastern Airlines, a major player in the airline industry, and Gulf Oil, a giant in the energy sector. They had a contract for jet fuel. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
On the surface, yeah. You know, things rarely stay that simple.
Well, we already know they got complicated. So fill us in. What happened?
Okay, so this wasn't just any old contract. It was what's called a requirements contract, meaning Gulf Oil had to supply Eastern with all the jet fuel they needed at specific locations. The price was tied to an index published in Platts Oilgram. That was like the go-to source for oil price info back then.
Interesting. So, requirements contract. How is that different from a regular contract?
Well, in a typical contract, you've got a fixed amount of stuff being exchanged, goods or services. But with a requirements contract, the quantity depends on what the buyer needs, and that can obviously fluctuate. So much of it hinges on good faith and reasonable demands from the buyer. Which, you know, sounds simple enough.
But I'm guessing things weren't so simple when you've got a global crisis happening.
Exactly, what's reasonable when everything's in disarray? That became a major point of contention in this case.
So Gulf War must have felt like Eastern's need suddenly became a whole lot bigger than they bargained for.
Yeah, and probably a bit unreasonable given the situation.
So what did they do?
Well, Gulf claimed the two-tier pricing system basically made the Platts index useless as a benchmark for the jet fuel price. On top of that, they argued that the skyrocketing oil prices just made fulfilling the contract commercially impractical. They said they were in a serious financial bind.
Hey, we didn't sign up for this.
Basically right. They were saying that because of these totally unforeseen circumstances, the contract was no longer valid. It'd be unfair to hold them to the original terms. To bolster their case, they pointed to the Uniform Commercial Code.
Okay, so the legal stuff.
Yes, specifically the provisions on commercial impracticability.
I've heard that term thrown around, but what does it actually mean?
Okay, so imagine you agree to bake a cake for a friend's birthday. You agree on a price, everything's set, then bam, a massive flour shortage hits. Flour is now $1,000 a bag. It's not impossible to bake the cake, but come on, that's insane.
Okay, so it's not that it's literally impossible, but more like completely unreasonable to expect you to fulfill the agreement.
Exactly. You have to prove that fulfilling the contract would create an unreasonable hardship because of something that no one could have predicted when the contract was signed.
So Gulf Oil had to convince the court that the oil crisis and the two-tier pricing were so out of left field that no reasonable company could have seen them coming.
Right, and considering Gulf is a major player in the oil industry, that's a tough sell.
So what happened? Did they manage to convince the court?
Not so much. Eastern Airlines wasn't buying it. They argued that the contract clearly laid out how the price would go up, and Gulf, being in the energy business, should have known that oil prices can be volatile.
It's risky business.
Right. And they also pointed out that fuel freighting, where airlines fill up on cheaper fuel at certain airports, was a common industry practice.
So they were saying, hey, you know how this worked? Don't try to change the rules just because things aren't going your way.
Exactly. Eastern was hitting hard on the principle of foreseeability. They argued that Gulf, as a sophisticated oil company, should have known price hikes and disruptions were possible, and they should have accounted for that in the contract. And ultimately, the court sided with Eastern.
So even in a global crisis, a deal's a deal.
Oh.
What were the consequences for Gulf?
The court said they couldn't just back out of the contract. They were ordered to keep supplying Eastern with fuel according to the original agreement. And here's where it gets really interesting. The court granted Eastern specific performance, which basically forced Gulf to fulfill the contract. That's pretty uncommon in contract disputes.
Specific performance. That sounds serious. What does it mean exactly?
Usually in these situations, the remedy is monetary damages. One party pays the other for their losses. But specific performance is different. The court actually orders the breaching party to do what they promised in the contract. It's rare because courts don't usually like to get involved in managing business affairs like that.
I bet Eastern was happy about that, though. They needed that fuel.
Absolutely, especially with how scarce and expensive it was. The court recognized that just giving Eastern money wouldn't solve the problem. They needed the fuel to keep operating.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big win for Eastern. But we've got to talk about those costs Gulf Oil was claiming. Earlier, you said something about them trying to make things look worse than they were.
Ah, yes. That's where things get a little shady. When Gulf was trying to show how much they were losing, they tried to include their own internal profits as part of their costs. Like profits from their own oil production and subsidiaries.
Wait, hold on. How can your profits be considered a cost?
Exactly. It was a tricky move.
Mm.
By inflating their costs, they were trying to make themselves look way more burdened by the crisis than they actually were. In reality, they were still making a profit, just not as much as they wanted.
That's wild. It really shows how high the stakes were and how far they were willing to go.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder what other tactics companies might use today to try and gain an advantage in similar situations. Something to keep in mind, right?
Definitely. This has already been a fascinating deep dive full of twists and turns, but we've got more to cover. In part two, we're going to dig deeper into those legal arguments, the court's reasoning, and what impact this case had on the business world. Stay tuned.
You know, one of the most striking things about this case is how the court really focused on the contract's wording. They basically said, look, the agreement is clear, both sides agreed to it, and we're not going to rewrite it just because the market changed.
Like, you signed it, now you got to deal with it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I bet Gulf Oil felt like the whole deal had fallen apart with that two-tier pricing and all the chaos in the oil market.
Oh, absolutely. Their whole argument was based on that idea of commercial impracticability, which we talked about earlier. It's what can let a company break a contract if sticking to it would be way too hard or even impossible because of something unexpected.
So like a business version of an act of God clause. Protection from stuff they can't control.
It's similar in that it deals with unforeseen stuff, but it's not quite that simple. To prove commercial impracticability, you gotta meet a really high bar. It's not enough to just show the deal became less profitable. The hardship has to be really extreme, and the event that caused it has to be something no one could have seen coming.
And in this case, the court didn't buy that Gulf had shown enough.
Nope. The court kept saying that Gulf was a big, sophisticated oil company. They knew this industry inside and out. They should have been prepared for price swings and problems, and they should have protected themselves in the contract.
But Gulf kept bringing up the two-tier pricing. They said it made the Platts Index unreliable for figuring out the jet fuel price. Did that argument have any weight?
The court didn't think so. They pointed out that the contract specifically said they'd use the Platts Index, and it was still being published and used all over, even with the two-tier system.
So Gulf is basically saying the pricing's not working for us anymore, so the contract's void.
That's one way to look at it, I guess. It shows how important it is to have really strong contracts that can survive changes in the market. Gulf might have wished they had a different pricing system, but they were stuck with what they'd agreed to.
What about that fuel freighting thing? Gulf said Eastern was messing with their fuel needs by loading up on cheaper fuel at some airports. So they'd buy less from Gulf at the pricier spots. Was that a legitimate gripe?
Well, the court found that fuel freighting was totally normal in the airline industry. Both Eastern and Gulf had been doing it for years. It was just how things worked.
So Eastern wasn't trying to pull a fast one on Gulf just because of the crisis.
That's what the court decided. They said it was the established way these companies did business, and Gulf had never complained about it before.
Seems like they were trying to change the rules when things stopped going their way.
It does make you think about consistency in business. You can't just complain about something you used to be okay with when it benefited you.
So our listeners are probably getting the picture here. Gulf Oil sees the market turning against them. They try every legal trick to get out of their contract. But the court says, nope, you made a deal. You stick to it.
It's kind of like a David and Goliath story, right? Eastern's the airline just trying to keep flying during a crisis, and Gulf's the giant oil company trying to protect its profits. And in the end, the court sides with the little guy, upholding the sanctity of the contract.
We've been talking a lot about the legal stuff and the court's reasoning, but I think it's important to remember the human side of this, too.
Definitely. This wasn't just some abstract legal case. It had a real impact on both companies, their workers, and all the people who depended on them. Imagine how stressful it was for Eastern's employees wondering if they'd even have fuel to keep the planes running.
And I'm sure Gulf's executives were frustrated, too, seeing their profits shrink, feeling trapped by a contract they didn't like anymore.
Right. There are human stories behind all these legal battles, complicated reasons, and high stakes. It reminds us that these decisions have consequences that reach far beyond the courtroom.
It really makes you think, how would you react in that situation? Would you fight like crazy to break the contract, or would you honor it even if it cost you money?
It's a tough question. No easy answers. But this case forces us to think about those ethical choices and the big picture impact of business decisions.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but there's still more to explore. In part three, we'll look at what happened after the case and the lasting impact it had on the business world. Stay tuned. All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Eastern Airlines versus Gulf Oil. It's been a wild ride going from the energy crisis to the courtroom and everything in between. What are your thoughts so far? Anything that really stood out to you?
I think what's really amazing is how much this case from the 70s still has to teach us about doing business today. It's a cautionary tale for sure, but it also gives us some really valuable insights.
Totally. It's crazy how relevant this case still is. So as we wrap things up, what are some key takeaways our listeners should keep in mind? What lessons can we learn from Eastern versus Gulf?
Well, I think the biggest one is how important it is to have solid contracts. Even in a global crisis, a well-written contract can hold up under pressure and protect everyone involved.
So not enough to just have any contract. It's got to be a good one that anticipates problems.
Exactly. And this case really shows how important foreseeability is in agreements. Mm-hmm. You know, the court said Gulf Oil should have known that oil prices could change and things could get messed up because they're experts in that industry.
Yeah.
That idea of foreseeability has a big impact on how businesses write contracts today.
So companies have to think ahead, not just about the deal right now, but about what could happen down the line.
Right. It's about being proactive and thinking about those what-if scenarios. Another big thing is how important it is to use clear language in contracts. You know how the court kept saying they were going by what the contract actually said? That shows how important it is to write everything down clearly. So there's no room for confusion.
Like they were saying, we're not going by what you meant.
Yeah.
We're going by what you wrote.
Exactly. And this case also gives us some good info about commercial impracticability. It's a powerful tool, but it's not a free pass to get out of a contract. Remember, to prove it, you have to show that it would be really, really hard to do what the contract says and that whatever caused the problem was totally unpredictable.
So companies need to understand how this defense works and be ready to prove it if they want to use it. They can't just yell impracticability and expect to get out of a deal.
Right. It's not that easy. And one more thing. This case reminds us that these battles aren't just fought in the courtroom. Gulf Oil tried to use PR and politics to their advantage, which shows how important it is to manage your image and public opinion alongside the legal stuff.
It's a good reminder that business disputes can turn into PR nightmares.
Yeah.
So companies need to know how to defend themselves and talk to the public.
Absolutely. So the Eastern Airlines versus Gulf Oil case, it's a great example of how legal decisions can have a long-lasting impact. The court's decision still affects how contracts are written, understood, and enforced in business today.
So it's still having an impact all these years later. It shows that the law is always changing, trying to keep up with new challenges.
We've gone on quite a journey with this deep dive, haven't we? We've looked at contract law, the energy industry, and the human side of these business disputes.
We have. We've seen how important it is to plan ahead, communicate clearly, and stick to your agreements. But I think the biggest lesson here is that even when the world feels like it's falling apart, integrity and honoring your commitments are crucial for building trust and making it in the business world. That's all for our deep dive into Eastern Airlines versus Gulf Oil. Thanks for joining us.